And so, then pictures of ourselves.
No, we always do those. Why do we do those?
Me doing the Burt Reynolds Playgirl pose every week.
I know, but you look good in the mustache. Mm. I wish you'd put it on your face.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
Okay.
And you're Ian Boothby?
Yep.
And you are the audience listening to this show. And this is episode 75. I just thought I'd bring it up because...
That doesn't sound realistic.
Because it's a big number.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's divisible by 5.
Right.
And then it's like an anniversary kind of number, right? Because 75 is like a big thing.
Yeah, it's also, it's the age where in Canada we put our elderly on ice floes.
On ice floes.
Well, this is the big problem with like the glaciers melting is we have no place to put our elderly. Mm-hmm. So we're just having to catapult them into the sea now.
Yeah.
And it's sad. You know, it's tough when you have to tell grandpa it's time to get in the catapult.
That's right. It's not sad so much as...
Funny.
As amusing and inevitable.
Right. And that's part... Okay. And those of you who are listening from the Americas, it's part of our healthcare plan.
That's right.
We can afford to pay for you completely until 75, at which point, get in the old catapult, Grandma.
Yeah.
It's time to go a-twanging into the sea.
Because it's too expensive.
Right.
Because it's been proven that the first 75 years are relatively inexpensive healthcare-wise.
Right.
Overall.
Yep.
There are obviously like our outliers who,
right.
You know, people who require multiple surgeries because they don't have legs.
Yep.
And they need leg surgery.
Right.
To reattach legs.
And some people like
that are stolen from hobos.
Right. And some people like to add additional legs.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Runners like to add like a spare set of legs.
That's right.
Because we have no law. There's again, much like in Gus the field goal kicking mule, there's nothing in the book against it.
That's right. And people who they have several legs and put several arms on, so they look like a spirograph.
Right.
Yeah, that's a common thing in Canada.
Or if you've seen Da Vinci's drawing of man,
yeah,
that's what a typical runner in Canada looks like. Forearms, four legs.
Typical runner.
Forearmed is forewarned, is what they say.
Professional somersaulter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now,
not somersaulter, sorry. What is it called?
Tumbler.
No.
They have Tumbler accounts.
The thing you do the over the...
Cartwheel.
Cartwheels, yeah. Professional cartwheelers.
Right.
That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry.
Now, the other thing about throwing the elderly into the sea, of course, is this is very good for the orca population.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they like the taste of old.
They like, yeah.
They like an aged, well, like we would like an aged wine.
Mm-hmm.
You would like an aged cheddar.
Sure.
But the problem with orcas is there's nothing nothing old in the sea, really.
No.
Except for like a tortoise. They might run into a tortoise. But the odds of when are you going to run into a tortoise if you're an orca, very, very slim to none.
Very slim. Because in the water, tortoises are actually very fast swimmers.
Oh, they're incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how they stay old.
That's why they have that little tail. That's what gives them that extra movement in the water, that extra speed.
Yeah, they call that torque.
Right.
That's where it comes from. It's short for tortoise.
Tortoise torque, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the nice thing is when you throw an old person into the sea, it's sort of like giving them beef jerky. It's a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice, you know, it's how when people list the ways that they would like to die. Okay, now, being catapulted into the sea and eaten by orcas is not number one on the list. Often it's
so
going
rare.
In their sleep.
So rare.
But on the list, if you keep going long enough, eventually you will get to tossed into the ocean on a catapult and eaten by orcas.
Yeah, yeah. By a catapult.
Right. Also, if
the on a catapult is actually fairly rare, because what happens then is they have the catapult set up.
Right.
The person is attached to it, and then the ice flow collapses, and the catapult and the old person disappear down into the water.
Absolutely.
That is being tossed into the sea
and
on a catapult.
And here's the other thing that's necessary, and I know this because my wife works at the aquarium right now.
Yes.
As a volunteer.
We've established that.
She does not get paid.
She does not get paid?
No.
As a volunteer. She's an unpaid volunteer. Is that what you're telling me?
That's right.
That is shocking.
Isn't it?
Here in Canada... where we have pretty strict rules and laws about minimum wage,
right.
$5 an hour,
right.
If you're over 65,
right.
You'd think that you know they would have to have paid volunteers.
You would think so.
I'm going to think I might have to report the aquarium for having unpaid
volunteers.
Well,
you know volunteers. Your ombudsman.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I do personally.
He lives in your basement.
He does.
Everyone in Canada gets an ombudsman that lives in their basement.
That dresses like a clown.
And you feed them cheese.
He dresses like a clown.
Yeah.
It's actually really quite scary having an ombudsman.
Oh, it's terrifying. But the kids like him until they get scared of clowns.
They don't like the ombudsman at all in my house.
But just getting back to the reason we throw the elderly into the sea. Now, an orca...
Mm-hmm.
cannot legally call itself a killer whale until it has killed somebody.
Killed a person.
Killed a person.
Not just an animal.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
killing a seal.
Right.
Doesn't do it.
And
killing an otter.
Sometimes they accidentally do it. And that's when you get what you call a manslaughter whale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. They call
that's
that
a different, that's not, that's, or a second degree killer whale.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Okay, I'm done. Hey, how's it going, Dave? What's good by you?
Really good. Really good. But it's funny that you bring up sea creatures, because this reminds me of something that has absolutely nothing to do with sea creatures, mm-hmm. except for this brief part. It's a tire commercial that's playing on the radio right now. And it starts a kind of famous...
The radio has commercials.
Radio has commercials, that, yeah. This is commercial realistic. Radio I'm talking
all right,
about.
All right.
I know that you're a big fan of CBC.
I like talk radio where people have a lot of strong opinions.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know you're a fan of CBC, where they only have commercials for other shows on the CBC.
Ugh.
But this is a tire commercial.
Okay.
For a tire chain.
Very smart, because you're in your car, probably, if you're listening to the radio.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and yeah. You're thinking about your tires.
Exactly.
Because your car is not working. It's spinning because your tires are so bald that you
hydroplane. How bald are they?
They're so bald, they look like the character actor who's playing the role in this tire commercial.
Yeah. They're so bald. Mm-hmm. My jack is a Kojak.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
What does that mean?
It means Kojak was a character who was bald.
Okay. Oh, your jack is a Kojak.
Were you spelling it C-O?
Jack? Yeah, I was actually.
Kojak.
Yeah, I was thinking of it that way. Like okay. like a co-author.
All right, or a Kojak. Co-pilot. All right, that's fine.
Yeah. It's like there's two jacks. There was one jack and then there was a Kojak right. to help out the other jack because the tires are so bald.
Okay.
You needed two jacks.
You're too young to get my Kojak jokes.
Yeah, it was a problem with the...
They did a remake
you know
recently.
What? Who loves you, baby?
All right. Please continue with your commercial
story. So,
You're in your car.
In this commercial... No, it has nothing to do with my car. In this commercial, the guy is at a zoo. And because he's got $160 from saving money on his tires,
okay.
he wants to buy a giraffe.
Mm.
Outraged. The zookeeper is outraged.
Right.
You cannot buy a giraffe for $160
yep.
that you got from this tire company. What? And then the character, the hilarious character playing the dumb guy, says,
As a dumb guy voice, please?
He says, oh, you want me to do it as his voice or my own kind of dumb guy voice?
You know what? Why don't you do your own dumb guy? We okay. haven't heard him for a while.
From last week?
Yeah. Sir Wilfred Stupidhead.
Sir Wilfred Stupidhead. Well, how about if you sell me the narwhal, the narwhal over there with the pink snout, he says. I can't do it. I just want to describe the commercial.
Okay.
The narwhal with the pink snout.
You're too intelligent to do your dumb voice.
Yes. And this person, he says, you mean our head cashier? And then the guy says, you taught a narwhal to work cash? Or work a cash register or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hilarious, right?
Oh, are we to that, the punchline?
That's the punchline.
That's the
and
punchline.
And then it tags it after they give you the...
Wait, Dave, let me finish laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. Go ahead.
Thank you. After they have a little tag and he says, you know, I'm 1/5 narwhal myself. So when you hear that commercial, you don't laugh, obviously.
Did he whip his dick out at that point?
I can only hope so.
Would you like to see my 1/5 narwhal?
It's not a visual. But,
it certainly isn't.
It's
okay.
Here's the thing about it. When you're hearing it, you're like, what does it mean?
Right.
Like, why? Okay. Why is it a narwhal working
with
a pink snout? And you don't really associate snouts with narwhals, right?
No, you think like, a horn. He's got a horn.
Yeah, he's got a big horn.
Pink horn.
That's right. And then
also, do people know what a narwhal is? Like, if you mention narwhal, that takes you about 3 beats to go, oh, yeah. But at that point, the joke's already been made.
Well, they make it clear that it's a she in the commercial, right? She's our head cashier.
Now, I got two problems here, too. So, mm-hmm. The narwhal, mm-hmm. now, isn't that like kind of a cold water animal?
It's a whale.
It's a whale. It's a cold water whale. Why is it in the same place that the giraffe is? Like, the guy can turn from the giraffe to the narwhal. That seems.
Why is it working cash?
Well, forget that. Let's just mm-hmm. go with the reality. I'm still in setup land. You're
okay.
talking punchline fuck up. No, okay. The punchline sucks. But let's just go setup.
Okay.
I'm in that place in the zoo.
Yeah, you're going to buy a giraffe. You can't buy it. The
right.
zookeeper's outraged.
Clearly,
this is a zoo, sir.
I'm gesturing towards the giraffe.
Yeah.
Who likes a nice warm climate.
Okay.
All right. Now, he is not in any way right next to the narwhal tank.
Well, no, but it isn't really a narwhal, is it? He's hilariously mistaking the head cashier for being a narwhal.
Now, does the head cashier have a nose that's so big it looks like a horn?
I don't know. This is a radio commercial,
right?
This
is the problem.
It's a radio spot.
This is a goddamn problem.
Well, to me, this
rhino,
is a problem.
Rhino, I would give you. Rhino, perhaps. Because now the person's got an enormous nose. First of all, a rhino everyone gets right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking a horned beast and you're trying to get to your joke,
yeah.
you go rhino before you go narwhal.
But here's the thing. I think
hey, college, fuck off.
Go I think this is a case of kind of PC jocus interruptus. Because what happens is they started
progressive conservative.
They started with a like maybe walrus. You know what I mean?
Oh, so he's fat.
It's what so she's fat. That's right. Hilariously. Oh. And then someone said, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be going with the walrus thing. Maybe we shouldn't be going with the elephant thing.
Okay, I hear you.
The elephant. Like elephant, you could say elephant has a, or a hippopotamus, that would have a snout. But the problem is you're making
a fat joke.
You're making a fat joke. And so someone said, let's pull it back from the fat joke. Let's do something different.
Does it have to be
what,
the fat joke?
What else would be, what else is a funny animal? A narwhal. Oh, a narwhal. Oh, yeah. So then.
I'm thinking you probably did go walrus because it almost sounds like narwhal. Mm-hmm. That's an easy
So
fix.
Then they go to narwhal. Okay, that's. Yeah. So, but it doesn't really work very well.
They've gone full narwhal.
They've gone right to the narwhal. They've taken it right to the narwhal. So the
Pink Floyd's the narwhal.
The narwhal. That's right. So then they know it's lame though, right? So then they totally kill the joke again at the end by saying I'm 1/5 narwhal. Well, if you're 1/5 narwhal, why is it amazing that that narwhal is working a cash register when you are trying to buy a giraffe and you're 1/5 of a narwhal? Like, it just, it
okay,
kills
but the
me.
Whole bit is that you saved $160 on your
tires.
And that's what you really want to know.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you'll save this much money that you can be a crazy millionaire.
That's basically the idea, $160, right? Yeah.
That's your idea is, mm-hmm. I want to buy a giraffe because I got $160.
Yeah.
So you want to be like, I've become a crazed millionaire. That's the thing. Woo-hoo. That's your joke. Mm-hmm. And now you've derailed with like, it's a weird person behind the counter. That's two different jokes. You're jamming. And then you're throwing a third joke, which makes no sense at all. Oh, you know what fucking happened here, Dave? Let me explain what happened here.
All right.
Here's what occurred.
Okay. Everybody just pull up your chairs.
Here's what,
get closer
here's
to
what
the fire.
Happened. I think you're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. I think they went walrus, mm-hmm. went too offensive, went narwhal.
Yeah.
Narwhals like walrus.
Yeah.
They probably went the walrus with the pink mustache or something. They went with something like that.
Yeah.
And then they went, I get you, narwhal.
Yeah.
Now, I think what you did with the end was, the guy, they said, hey, just have some fun with it. Throw some lines out. And he went, you know, I'm 1/5 narwhal.
Okay.
And they have been doing this all day.
Yeah.
They're tired.
Yeah.
And the sound guy laughed because it was so inappropriate.
Yeah.
And wrong.
Yeah.
And the people with no soul who are in the ad campaign go, people laugh at this. And so they went, yes.
Yeah.
And the sound guy went, I don't give a fuck. I don't have a dog in this fight. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff come and I've seen a lot of stuff go and I haven't said nothing.
Yeah.
I'm the Sergeant Schultz of this bullshit and I don't give a damn. Let it go. It doesn't affect me. My check is cash and I'm going to spend it making meth.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn.
Making meth or doing meth?
Making meth.
Oh.
And then you do the meth afterwards.
Oh, okay. You do it yourself. The home meth lab.
Right. Well, yeah. And you know where you cook it? Mm-hmm. In the meth hall.
In the meth hall, yeah. That's right. Yeah. And don't make a meth while you're in there.
Well, that's basically the same joke. Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Why don't you tag the joke with the same joke?
Okay. Well, because I'm 1/5 narwhal.
What does it even mean? 1/5.
So silly.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
He has an extra long incisor.
Have you ever noticed, though, when you're listening to radio commercials, that they make TV commercials look like art? They look like the best.
Some do.
They're the
Some
best. They're, I mean, it makes, like, you have the parallel commercials, mm-hmm. where it's like, here it's on TV, and now it's on radio. And there's one, like, a friend of mine, Eric Fell, does, where it's, you know, he does it, and it's a commercial. And it's
Eric Fell, the dungeon master of the Critical Hit
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. And
do
it's
every
one where
day.
A guy gets his loan approved, and he can pick a monkey or a confetti.
Okay.
And he picks the confetti. And they go, they got a radio version of that that has decided, it's like a Slurpee that someone has sucked all the flavor out of and just given you a cup of ice and just gone, here's your Slurpee.
Yeah.
It's like, could I have had it before the no? And let's say.
Mm-hmm. The worst radio commercials, though, are the in-house radio commercials where you know, there's a company and they're like, you know, I'd like a radio ad for on your radio station. And they're like, okay, well, what do you got for us? Well, I don't actually have an ad. You know, well, we can, you know, as part of our package, part of our, you know, we can make one for you, you know, and so it's just this kind of slapdash and always has the same voices because it's just people who work for the station do the voices for the ad and
they're good enough. They got lovely voices.
Good
Why
enough.
Not?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom. Yeah.
Now, does anyone on TV anymore do what they used to, which is the old timey plug a product during the show? Do they ever do that anymore?
I don't think so.
Like, I remember I used to watch Captain Kangaroo as a young man,
mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, in the middle of dropping, like Mr. Moose dropping some ping pong balls on his head,
yeah.
which really annoyed him more than it should have. It's not painful.
It's kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, you just get the moose to fucking clean up his ping pong balls, and life goes on. By the way, why do you have a ceiling full of ping pong balls? What were you preparing for?
That's right.
It's your ceiling. Clear them out of there.
Well,
like, check it every day, like, and just get rid of them. Okay.
What you didn't know was that the studio where they had Captain Kangaroo also is where they filmed the ping pong championships.
Oh, okay.
And so those were there, you know, for the actual championships. All right. Spare ping pong.
So he'd go for the shenanigans, mm-hmm. and he'd go, oh.
Was it Mr. Bunny? Who else was the?
Mr. Rabbit.
Oh, Mr. Rabbit. Okay.
Yeah, and there was Mr. Moose.
And then
there was
Mr. Green Jeans. Yeah.
Mr. Owl, I believe. Wait, mm-hmm. was Mr. Owl?
I don't remember Mr. Owl.
I think Mr. Owl might have been on Mr. Dress Up instead. A lot of mysteries.
I don't remember Mr. Owl on
was there a Mr. Screen? Was the screen Mr. Screen or just
or Mr.
A screen?
Dress? Oh, Mr. Owl on Mr. Dress Up.
To it, to woo, to it,
yeah,
to woo.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Okay, yeah. That was Mr. Dress Up.
I'll tell you something. I won't say who. And he kept his mouth shut. Never snitches.
But he was a painting, right?
Yeah, and he always kind of used to say, snitches get stitches. It's weird they would say that.
He was a macrame owl.
Yeah, very strange.
Yeah.
But so Captain Kangaroo would get the balls dropped on his head. And then he'd go, oh, you know something, teeth are important. Then he'd step over to a giant tube of Colgate toothpaste, okay. and he'd go, you know, MFP is the best fluoride you can get. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then he just stepped back into the show, and it was like, well, that's weird. But that used to be what everyone would do.
Yeah.
The show, like,
had George, sponsors.
George Burns would all of a sudden go, yeah. That Gracie, she's some kind of stupid. Anyway, you know what's delicious?
Yeah. Jell-O was a longtime sponsor of the Jack Benny show, so there's a lot of Jell-O commercials on the Jack Benny show.
Right, and they would just step aside, that's and right. all of a sudden be a Jell-O commercial.
You know, long or Don. Gee, Don. Hey, Jack, have you tried this new flavor of Jell-O?
How much does it fucking cost? I'm cheap. That's my Jack popular. Benny impression.
That's right.
All right, let's do my Jack Benny impression.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Benny.
Yes? What is it, Rochester?
I got the car going for you.
Wait, how much does my car cost? I'm very cheap. Don't put any gas in it. I'm too cheap. I'm going to walk.
All right, I'll push the car for you.
Okay, you push that car. Yeah. How much am I paying you?
$5 a year.
That's too much. I'm cheap. You get a dollar now. I'm very cheap.
That's a terrible show.
I'm going to play my violin. Hey, wait, do you want to buy my violin? I'm very cheap. Buy it for $100 off me, or I fire you now. I'm Jack Benny. All right, now I'm going to do my Fred Allen. I'll do my Fred Allen. You be Jack Benny.
I'll be Jack Benny. Oh, Fred.
I hate you. I'm Fred Allen. I really hate Jack Benny. I'm going to go walk down this alley and talk to characters.
I think I'll play my violin.
I don't like you. I don't care for you at all. Okay, I'm going to go walk down this.
Have I told you about Jell-O?
What? Jell-O? I don't know. Look, there's Senator Claghorn. Hey, Senator.
I see, son. How's it going?
Shut up. I hate Jack Benny. Shut up. Let's talk about how much we hate Jack Benny. Shut up. Just shut up. Shut your mouth. Shut your goddamn mouth. I hate Jack Benny. I'm Fred Allen.
Oh, Mr. Allen. Oh, this is a... I'm being the... I can't even do an Italian accent for some reason. I don't know why. Usually I could. Mamma mia, Mr. Allen.
You sound like you're doing the voice that your wife Lisa did on the show.
My God.
Yeah, that character.
Mm-hmm. But are you saying that's not how she normally talks?
I'm saying people were delighted. And they would like to have her back, but if she can't come back, I would like you to carry on the character in her name.
Oh, Risa. One time, where that voice came from is because we got a cat.
And the cat had that voice. And the cat, that's terrifying.
For some reason, every time she would talk about the cat, she would start talking in that voice. I do not know why. Her cat is called Risa. Mm-hmm. Maybe it made her think of a Russian person. And the cat became, of course, my family are inveterate nicknamers. So Risa became Risa Bisa.
Oh.
And so is Risa Bitha. You have to say it like that, right? So Risa Bitha, oh my God. And so she'd say that. One time I was saying something about her and my wife leaned down, put her hand on my shoulder and was leaning over me to get something. And she goes, oh, I love you so much, Risa Bitha, oh my God. This is a weird thing, this weird voice. Like, I couldn't see her face or anything. Just hear this voice in my ear. It's like, oh, you're losing your mind. But yeah.
And you said to her, don't tell my wife that I visit you. And that's how you keep things fresh.
That's right. We play characters to each other.
That's right.
I come in as Tony. Hello, everyone. Oh, spaghetti. That's one spicy meatball.
That's right.
Yeah.
And me and my wife, I do Jack Benny, and she plays Fred Allen.
A lot.
Tell me you hate me. Tell me how much you hate me. How much does bed cost? It's cost too much money. What's our rent in this place? Well, that's too much money. I'm Jack Benny.
Your money or your life?
Oh, okay. You can kill me because I'm very cheap.
Man, that character is... It's a character you cannot destroy.
Nope.
Not even your destruction of it can destroy that character.
Is there anyone else that carried on the real cheap bastard kind of lovable cheap guy after Jack Benny? Or did that character? Because everyone ripped off Bob Hope. Like Woody Allen,
they did?
Yeah, Woody Allen ripped off Bob Hope
a little bit
as the cowardly yeah. ladies' man.
Yeah,
was like, hey, look out of here,
yeah.
that guy. I mean, Woody Allen like says that he ripped off Bob Hope whole cloth,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and then it obviously took it in some different directions. Then a lot of people ripped off Woody Allen, but the whole kind of semi-cowardly Lothario that shouldn't be as you know confident with the ladies as he is by any stretch of the imagination.
But was that Bob Hope character? I mean, we grew up with Bob Hope in a way. We saw Bob Hope.
We
watched Bob Hope specials. He was on the Oscars.
He wasn't the movie Bob Hope.
That's what I mean. So I think that character was kind of it wasn't as archetypal as the Jack Benny character.
Mm.
You know, like to do that character again, basically someone would be saying, "Oh, you're doing Benny."
Right.
You know, to do that cheap, you know, kind of you know, almost effeminate.
I'm really surprised
Rochester.
In this day of infinite remakes that mm-hmm. no one has remade the Road movies, like any of the Road movies.
Well, I think
Ishtar tried, perhaps.
Ishtar tried, and I think it succeeded in a way. Mm-hmm. I'm not a hater of Ishtar.
I enjoy Matt Frewer in there. I like him.
I like both Warren Beatty and.
Oh, that's fine. Good for you. I'm glad to hear it.
Dustin Hoffman.
That's fine. Okay, good for you. It's fantastic.
Charles Grodin's good.
All right. Yeah, he's always good. Charles Grodin's always good in things. But it seems like the kind of thing they would give like just a.
It's an Elaine May movie, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, she's really good.
Yeah.
But it seems like the kind of thing they would give like modern comedians and just like pair them up and just go, let's take you to an exotic locale. Mm-hmm. You're the kind of you're this
Club,
guy.
Club
you're the
Med.
smoother.
Club Med.
Yeah, and that's true. That Club Med movie. Ah, damn it! What was it called? Oh, fuck it. But anyway, if we put up a clip a long time ago, I'm not putting up a clip again. But, you know, you get your smoothie. You get your guy like your Michael Bublé or whatever. And then you're the guy from Saturday Night Live who sings all the songs. Not Adam Sandler, but the younger guy.
Jimmy Fallon.
Sure, let's go Jimmy Fallon. Actually, Jimmy Fallon almost seems like the smooth guy. But like, what's his name? The guy from Lonely Island.
Matt Frewer.
Andy Sandberg.
Baldwin.
Andy Sandberg.
Adam Baldwin. Yeah,
those two together and they're going out and they're having a thing.
You think that Sandberg would work in that? I guess he would work. He'd be more like a Jerry Lewis to me than a Bob Hope, Bing Crosby kind of.
Because
you need that.
What is it? What's the movie they're remaking now with Mickey Mouse and Roger Rabbit? The Stooge. The Jerry Lewis film, The Stooge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
With, I think, had Dean Martin originally as well.
Martin Lewis, yeah.
Yeah, so Mickey Mouse is now the Dean Martin smooth character, and the
Roger
Jerry
Rabbit.
Lewis is Roger Rabbit.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, and they're remaking that film.
They're remaking it as an animated film.
Because that movie was so great.
Everyone said remake.
The movie's so nice, they made it twice.
Well, you know what? I think that's actually your angle when you're remaking a movie, is don't remake a movie that everyone loved,
because
they're going to go like, boo.
Yeah.
You know, remake a movie that like had an okay plot,
okay.
went off in some not great directions, okay. and you know, have at it.
So you're telling me to scrap my remake of The Seventh Seal.
Has no one remade that?
No.
Really?
It's. I was going to say sui generis, I want to say it, the Latin term for it is its own thing. I think it would be almost impossible to remake that film
a Casablanca TV series.
Yeah, and it would succeed. But I mean, the Casablanca TV series, I mean, you could have done like it would be interesting to do a film about Renaud and Rick after what happens to them after. I mean, they basically are turning around and walking back into danger and they both know it. And so it would be interesting. That would be interesting.
Except you could never do a love interest thing again. It would feel weird. Like if he fell in love at any point, because they got the perfect love and then the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And so if like he then found another girl, it's like, is she as good as her? Is she not as good? I mean, so
but
you can't play.
But if she's a different character, she could work. Because there's a movie like To Have and Have Not with Lauren Bacall.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know where it ranks in the, or where it spans in like the time
I'm still thing. Talking to you but while
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
texting.
Sure, that's fine. You know, like, does Casablanca the first film and Have and Have Not came after it? I'm not sure.
I think so.
But I mean, it's a similar character that Humphrey Bogart plays in To Have and Have Not. I mean, it takes place in Havana, I believe. It's like in Cuba.
Right.
Or somewhere there, or maybe Haiti, something like that. And then, you know, has Lauren Bacall kind of playing the love interest in it. And I think if you bring in a character like that was totally different than the Ilsa character in Casablanca, you know, the Ingrid Bergman character, then you could Now, you could kind of keep that going.
I'm going to bet you almost any money that I don't really have to bet you that there was some sequels to Casablanca. I bet book-wise, it feels like the kind of thing. Anytime you have a classic movie.
Tons of slash fiction where Renaud and Rick get it on.
No. You know, that's true. But like, you know, like there's Gone with the Wind and then there's the Further Adventures of Scarlett O'Hara and blah, blah, blah. But
that came like generations. I mean,
that's true.
The rewrite came a long time after.
You know what's weird to me was finding out that that Tom Sawyer had adult adventures. Do you know about that?
How do you mean?
The Tom Sawyer books.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if Mark Twain actually wrote these.
I don't think so, because I read all of Mark Twain's books.
Okay, but there's some that they consider, you know, canon, whatever you call it.
William Conrad.
Exactly. Please do that joke every week. It worked the first 74 times. It will work again.
It's a 75th anniversary show.
But it's Tom. It's
bringing back the oldies.
It's Tom Sawyer as an adult, and now he is a detective, and that is for real. That's a thing.
Okay. Now, that was maybe someone took the character and continued it
on. I will have to take a look and see. But if you read Tom Sawyer's biography, like on any page that's talking about Tom Sawyer, they talk about him as an adult.
Yeah.
He went on and did this. Here's
you know, he wasn't a real person, by the way, but anyhow.
But he gets high on you and the space he invades gets by on you. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Tom Sawyer.
Song canon? The Rush song?
I don't believe William Conrad sang that song.
All right. Oh, he would be great. Do him.
I can't do it because I don't know the song. I'm not a Rush fan.
Later, so Rocky and Bullwinkle. Spacey and Vance gets high on you.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
See you next week for...
Oh, man, they had the greatest
titles, the double tags. It was always like this one or the funnier one.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Writing that show must have been so hard.
Oh, so good. I'm trying my best to try and get writing on the comic book. They're reading it.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. There's a couple of series out right now based on old horror movies. There's the Psycho one that's...
filmed in Aldergrove.
Bates Motel.
They're just taking down the set.
Do they have the...
They built the whole house and they built the whole motel.
Is that weird?
I know, it's weird.
Is that weird that the Bates Motel is in your neighborhood?
It's right by the garbage dump.
Well, why not?
What's called a waste transfer station now because it goes into a big dumpster, but...
So you're doing Psycho, but with bears. Yeah. It's all just bears. It's the Norman Bear.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'd like to rent a room. Roar! And he just eats you. And it's like, well, that's what you do. He's a bear.
We took Phyllis to go riding on the weekend, and we drove past the motel and the house, and they've taken down the roof, the top part of the roof, and they're starting to demolish it all.
Oh,
yeah, it's too bad. But it was all built. It had the sign, the Bates Motel sign.
Why are they demolishing? Is the show done?
I guess it was just a miniseries that was kind of like the roots of Norman.
Oh, I thought it was quite successful. I thought they'd just keep going.
I would hope they kept it going because it was kind of neat having that little landmark in Aldergrove.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you take any pictures of the...
We didn't. We should have.
You should have.
But I'm not a picture taker.
No, you're not. But you should have been. Yeah. Well, here's where I was going with that. It's like you got your Psycho TV series.
Did we take a picture of our guest last week when she was on the show? No, we did not. So there's no picture of her to accompany.
She's got a web series. She's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But not looking like that. Because she looked totally different. She did.
She wasn't dressed as an elf barbarian.
Yeah, but her hair looked different and she just looked different. She was more...
She talked all normal in general?
She talked all normal. She didn't try and kill us with an axe.
She was funny.
It was really weird. Okay. I was...
Yeah. Well, we should have taken a picture of her, to be fair.
All right. And then pictures of ourselves.
No, we always do those. Why do we do those?
Me doing the Burt Reynolds Playgirl pose every week.
I know, but you look good in the mustache.
Mm.
I wish you'd put it on your face. So... They got your Psycho show, and then you got your Hannibal show now.
Have you watched it?
Yeah.
I kind of liked it. I watched one last night.
It kind of took me too far. Like, it was like they went to whatever that garden and had all the people buried, and they were all covered in mushrooms.
Oh, I didn't see that. But isn't that a place that's real, like a body farm? Is that what it was? Because they really do have those. They had them on CSI as well.
Yeah, but it was so gross out for gross out for gross out. Oh, okay. It was just like, life.
The other one I watched was a lot of women impaled on antlers.
Yeah, that was the first one, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just went, I get that there's a place and there's a thing and there's a thing, but you know, you only can put so much stuff in your head, and I just didn't feel like having that in my head.
Okay.
So I went like, no. But here's what I'm wondering. It's like, you know, Psycho in its time was the most horrifying film. Shocking. Like, oh my God.
Why was it shocking? Have you ever seen the trailer for Psycho?
No.
It's not called a trailer. It's called a spoiler. Like, Hitchcock walks through and he tells you everything that's going to happen in the movie.
Oh.
He goes, this is the shower where the woman was killed, where the stabbing took place. Mm-hmm. This is where the police detective was killed, you know, blah, blah, blah. Sorry if I'm spoiling this for people who haven't seen it. But he goes through and he says every major happening in the film, he tells.
But even if you say, that, when you find out
dumb.
Here's the thing.
It's dumb.
People like to know what they're getting into. Because if you hear psycho, you're like, I don't know if I want to. Okay, well, you told me through. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even if you know that, you will not probably think it's that lead that gets killed.
Because yeah.
she's the lead.
Yeah.
That's a shock still. It's like you can go like she's having a shower and then you're thinking, well, this is a shower, establishing this is a shower. Then someone else is going to have a shower that we don't know. She'll get murdered live our lives.
That's possible.
And it's like, what? She's got murdered. Well, she's the lead. Mm-hmm. What happens now? Movie goes flippity flop, floop, floop.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, which detective? Well, who the? Anyway. But my initial question, which I will get to eventually, is Psycho in its day was Horrifier Shockorama. Like that was the movie that you went, holy shit.
Crazy.
Then Silence of the Lambs, Horrifier Shockorama.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, what? You're making a code out of what?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if in the future, since both of those are now TV series, which seems almost impossible that you could make either of those into a TV series, but apparently you can. If in the future there will be a TV series based on Hostel or any of the or Saw,
the torture porn movies,
because that is in no way that's as shocking now as that was then, but probably with less cultural impact. Maybe Saw has the same cultural impact. Will within like 10 years it'll be like the Saw of the week?
It'll be a web series
every week that someone goes to a different hostel and something happens every week.
No, it's the same hostel. It's like Fantasy Island, only it's in a hostel.
That's what I'm wondering. It feels like it feels like a Fantasy Island type situation.
Welcome
like
to Fantasy Hostel.
Right, and whoever comes in, maybe they'll survive, maybe they won't. It'll just be a gore fest, and you'll be able to... Because it just amazes me what you can show now on television with the...
It's rated. They have ratings.
Right, the ratings... So here's what the ratings...
Keeps the kids from watching it.
Yeah, of course it does, because the kids like see that thing off the top.
Yeah.
They don't fast forward
They turn it off. They just turn it off.
Yeah, they go like...
They go, wait a second. Oh, TVV... You know, not suitable. I'll just turn this off right now.
Not for me, thanks.
I don't want to watch this kind of stuff.
I just want to watch the same amount of stuff. I want to watch the same thing over and over. Well, actually, kids do like watching the same thing.
Well, they do. Especially modern kids. Like kids of art, like my daughters, for instance.
Right.
Millis and Phyllis.
Oh, they got the names right. Thank God.
Yeah. They love to, I mean, they could watch Mary Poppins. I mean, I can't believe they haven't memorized it. Like, If I watch that film as often as they did, I could like recite the entire movie back to you.
And now, do they watch it, or do they do something else while it's on?
Well, when they were kids, they were more engrossed in the television than they are now.
Like, right, now they're doing it and they're on the phone.
Now there's lots of distractions. Yeah, they got their phone and they're tumbling and they're tweeting and they're doing whatever, you know.
Yeah, kids nowadays, am I right?
And all I do is read a book while the TV's on.
Yeah, of course you do.
Because, you know, got to get your book reading in.
That's right. Got to read the novelization of Hostel.
While I watch
the TV
series.
That old TV series.
That's right. Well, I read Psycho by Robert Bloch while watching the movie Psycho. I'm like, how does this compare?
Yeah, it just amazes me. It's like whatever is the most extreme thing will always like within 10 years or a little bit more, I'll just be like, yeah, we're used to that enough that that's fine.
It's possible. All I can say for definite is that I will not be watching it.
You will not be watching Hannibal anymore?
Hostel.
Oh, Hostel.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
How do you know? Would you have watched, like, if you heard, like, Hannibal was going to be a TV series back then, would you have gone, like, yeah, I'll watch that every week?
If I heard after Silence of the Lambs, probably, because I really enjoyed it. I would be less willing to watch it now because they made several horrible films after that good movie.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, they did. They made the...
Hannibal.
Okay, well, they made three.
Hannibal Rising.
Yeah, they did. Hannibal Rising was the book, but they just called the movie Hannibal. Then it was. Hannibal's. You know, young Hannibal.
Okay.
You know, kid Hannibal.
Little Hannibal. I believe it's called.
And then they did Red Dragon. They remade Manhunter.
Yeah.
As you know, using
Red Dragon was okay.
Yeah, but you'd seen it already.
Well, Manhunter really doesn't follow the book all that closely.
Mm.
It has its own thing. It has its own, you know, there's no big Inagata De Vita sequence in the books.
What's that? Clarice kind of falls for him and becomes kind of a protege, right? Like in the later,
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, because what happened...
Totally terrible.
What happened with Hannibal is something that often happens with people who write books, is that the author falls in love with his creation. He falls in love with his character.
Right.
So Thomas Harris, who wrote The Red Dragon and Silence of the Lambs and stuff, he fell in love with Hannibal.
Gross.
And so it becomes, and so the character becomes all-knowing, all-important because you cannot destroy this character any longer, you know. And it's the same thing, like Dorothy L. Sayers, who wrote the Peter Wimsey novels, she fell in love with the character that she created. She fell in love with Peter Wimsey so much that she created a stand-in for herself, Harriet Vane, is a writer, a mystery writer in the books who falls in love with and marries Peter Wimsey, and she is basically Dorothy L. Sayers. That's who
the character is. So you're saying she's so vain, she basically thought the character was about her.
The book is about her. All right, that's right. And so, yeah, it's not unusual for that to happen, for an author to so totally love the character that it becomes impossible for them to treat the character realistically.
Yeah, boo.
Because when you're writing, one of the most magical moments in anything you write, and I think you'll know this too, is when your character does something that you didn't expect.
Yeah.
When your character acts its own character out, even though you had a plot.
And the most frustrating thing is where you want the character to do something and you realize it can't.
Can't, yeah.
Without ruining
it. And now you have to change your story, because when you get to that moment, you realize, oh, if this was what this character was, they would totally do this different thing.
Like in Silence of the Lambs, you know, I mean, there's vulnerability there with the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a mess, you know, and then all of a sudden he becomes a fucking Superman. You know? It's like he knows everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, screw off. Now you know he can't be hurt. Now you know he can't be caught. Mm-hmm. Now he just becomes this other thing. He basically becomes what the Red Dragon guy thought he was going to be. It's like, I'm going to evolve into this amazing kind of, and the deal with that is you go like, of course you're not. You're just a fucking serial killer.
Yeah.
That's just like, you're just a twisted piece of garbage.
Yeah.
But then it's like, wait a minute. But this guy next to him actually is that, and it's like, no, he's so, the thing about Hannibal is he got caught. Why'd he get caught? Because he's a flawed fucker. Yeah. He's a killer, and he's going to get caught, and he's going to be put in jail, and this
because
is where he
ends
up.
You have this irresistible, it happens to, it's like Ted Bundy, when he carefully killed people for a long time, and then he reached this a state that most serial killers reach, which is this crazy fugue state where they just cannot resist killing, and they just go on this weird spree that's totally out of character for them, out of the careful, methodical work that they did before that. Mm-hmm. And, what I really like is this quote from Alan Moore, where he's talking about, it's one of the rare times that he spoke about a film, because it was one From Hell was being adapted.
Right.
And so he was speaking about doing the comic. He didn't really talk about the movie, because he, of course, doesn't care. But
he wasn't mad back then.
He wasn't mad about it. That's right. And so they're making the film, and he was talking about serial killers, and he dismissed the whole thing about loving classical music and being this wine connoisseur and stuff like that. He said, they don't care about that. That's not who they are. They only care about killing. You could just bang a pot, and that would sound the same to them as classical music, because what they're interested in is murdering people. That's what drives them. Mm-hmm. And all the rest of the stuff is just our romantic bullshit that we attach to the character, the idea of a serial killer. And as we romanticize it, and particularly Hannibal becomes very romanticized by Harris as he kind of falls in love with his character.
Yeah, all of a sudden he becomes American Psycho. Like, it becomes the guy who's got everything, like, just perfect and all this, that. Yeah. It's like, what's that about?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's not a serial killer. A Henry, a portrait of a serial killer. That's a serial killer.
And why?
Just a nut.
And again, why?
And unpleasant.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I think that was one of the reasons when I start, because I heard enough people like it that I thought I'd give it a try.
And
Of Hannibal, the TV series.
Okay.
And I get that it's technically, but I think that's what it is. It's just, well, this is really unpleasant.
Mm.
And that's it. And I can't get past the unpleasantness of it. So I'm like, I get that technically and but it's just like, it's just really unpleasant. And I'd rather do something more pleasant. And I can take bad things. I'll take something that makes me sad or grosses me out a bit or pushes my boundaries a bit.
Yeah.
But it just seems unpleasant. So enjoy it, everyone who's enjoying it.
Well, it is.
Maybe I'll like it in the second season. Maybe I'll start checking it out.
If it reaches that far.
But it will. It's doing well.
What's interesting about it to me is the flawed character of Will Graham, who is this really great, profiler, serial killer, person able to understand the mind of a serial killer.
Right.
Who's standing right beside one and doesn't realize it. You know, so it's interesting disconnect in this character, this kind of cognitive dissonance that he's living through. He probably even realizes that Hannibal is a serial killer, but he can't make that leap in his own mind.
Well, I'm trying to remember.
So I'm hoping the series follows it to that point.
Well, I'm trying to remember in the book, like, how does he catch him? Spoilers, everybody. In the book, how does he catch him in Manhunter? How does he explain that
he goes to his house, and he's visiting Hannibal Lecter's house, and he sees something, and I can't remember what it was exactly, but he sees something that makes him realize. I think it's like a book.
A novel saying
How I did it. No, it's like a collection of photographs of horrific, like murdered people or whatever. And he sees this and he realizes when he sees this book in this collection of books, he realizes, oh, this guy is a serial killer. But he accidentally lets Lecter know that he knows that he's one. And that's when Lecter stabs him.
Right.
And so, it's a...
Well, the angle.
I don't remember it all because I read the book a long time ago. Like, Red Dragon is like a great book. It's a great read. It's one of those books where you sit down and you start reading it, and then 6 hours later, you're like, what? Was something happening in my life? I didn't realize.
And now his character, Will's character, later becomes, does he become a killer or does he almost become a killer?
I hope not.
Like, I'm trying to think, like.
No, because he's. I mean, he doesn't.
He kills the. Right, but I seem to remember, like, that he was going towards that direction. And the angle I always kind of took on it for why he didn't recognize it originally was that Hannibal had enough that was similar with him, and he denied that aspect in himself.
That's possible.
Which allowed him to extend the denial to Hannibal.
That's
and
possible.
And then when it was like,
but it wouldn't. But how did he recognize other serial killers?
Well, because they operate in a different way.
Okay.
But in his way, you know, you put on this front, and he did it in the same way. Mm-hmm. But then when he saw the pictures, as you're saying, I would think, like, then he realizes how he feels about this pictures, and when he realizes how he feels, he realizes Hannibal feels the same way. And it's like, holy fuck, he's the killer, because I would be the killer if I had these pictures.
I don't put it that way, because in Red Dragon, I mean, he's a family man. He's married. He's very settled.
But he's gone.
Serial killers do not. Very rare the serial killers have that kind of front.
Right, but in this fictional world of la-di-da, I believe.
I mean, the BTK killer is, like, I think one of the very few married serial killers.
Right, but again, we're in fiction, right?
Okay.
So, Moriarty can't exist. So,
Moriarty can't exist, but it has to be grounded in believability. If you have a Moriarty who's magical and can appear in three places at once, then it spoils Sherlock Holmes,
right? What it feels like to me is it's the old thing they do in novels, not novels, but in movies or whatever, where the killer is normal all times of the day except for one time.
Yeah.
And then he's crazy fucking batshit insane evil. Yeah. But then the rest of the day, like you say, he's picking out the best wine and he's doing this. And so the guy's like family man, you know, but he's in denial about what he really is.
That's a hard thing to maintain as a serial killer, I think.
Right, because this is all, again, you know, especially later, it gets all crackers, fiction, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It is sad when you fall in love with your own character and you can't do anything.
Because then your character isn't real anymore. He can't live realistically. I mean, within his own character.
Right.
He can't be himself anymore.
Because
speaking
of the land of unpleasant, it's unpleasant for me then taking that character who's a side character and making them the protagonist of a story. That takes it into a different area as well.
Well, we had Joanna Gaskell on the show last week.
When was that?
Last week.
I don't remember.
We don't remember.
Was I drunk?
I think you were drinking during the show.
Oh, boy. I love drinking ether. Straight liquefied ether.
And we were talking about dungeon mastering and stuff like that. And I did one once.
Yeah, it was our all kink episode.
I dungeon mastered one time, and only one time, because I made the classic mistake of falling in love with the villain character in my story.
Oh, yeah.
And so everything in the story kept getting twisted around by me. And I would intentionally do it because I wanted this character to follow this particular plot because of, you know, and so it, and that's where I kind of developed this real hatred for that character because I recognized myself doing it.
Yeah.
And when I watch movies now or read novels where it's clear that that either the author has an agenda that he's trying to, like, to me, the movie Seven is an agenda movie where the you know, the screenwriter had an agenda.
Brilliant serial killer.
A brilliant serial killer, but also, we are above these people. We're not fat and lazy. We're not lustful. We're not greedy. Ho, ho, ho. These people who are like this are getting their comeuppance. Oh, they deserve it. You know, so it has this double element to it, you know, where people that we disapprove of in our puritanical, you know, holier than thou element that's such a disgusting part of North American culture. So we have this kind of pleasure of watching people, you know, suffer for their sins from a killer who can't be destroyed because he's you know, psychic.
That's
and
almost every
all-knowing.
Slasher movie too. Yeah.
And yeah. Well, the Friday the 13th had that element too, where you have sex, now you die. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And also you die just because you're young.
And because you're young. Yeah.
How
you
dare
look
you
like you're
be
having
young.
Fun. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. How dare
Boo.
You? Yeah. Shame on you for youth.
Shame on you. I'm jealous. I am jealous of young people, but anyway.
Are you?
A little bit.
Would you give up? Would you go for young, but you got to be as dumb as you were back then?
I would go. I would go for being young again and not having cancer.
Okay.
Because cancer really killed my 20s.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
you're
3 years out of my life where I didn't get to do stuff because of this big thing that happened to me.
Right.
And then right after that, you know, it was children, life.
Right.
So I never got to finish university. I never got to go out in the job market. I didn't get to, you know, didn't get to do those young 20 things that people get to do.
Well, I mean, your daughters are growing up now.
Yes,
and you're still a young, healthy man.
Fairly.
No, you are. Would you say, I mean, you are, all right, health-wise, like, again, it's tough because you had cancer, but, like, you're stronger now, probably. Like, you could bench more than you could when you were in your early 20s.
No,
am I right?
No.
You really?
I was in very good shape then.
But you weren't working out or anything?
Oh, yeah. I worked out every day.
Oh, you're doing, like, a little thing in there?
2 hours a day.
Oh, there you go. Then you had too much free time. Okay, the important thing is, you know what? You would have blown your 20s on fucking push-ups, so who cares? You've lost me. I'm just saying, like, again, you're a young man. Mm-hmm. Your daughters are going into the world soon.
Yeah.
And they're going to do wonderful things. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have some time, and you're still going to have...
but it'll be different. I just missed out on that time, so...
Right, but you gain it. You gain it now when you have the ability to enjoy it. Whereas I think in your 20s, you would have still... I mean, I don't need to have fucking cancer. That's terrible.
Yeah.
But like, I think in your 20s, you're going to be too dumb to really, you know, soak it all in.
Sure.
You're just a raw gun.
But that's part of it too,
raw nerve.
Being dumb is part of being in your 20s.
Right. Now, you can either... But here's the thing. You can either then do those things, the same things you went then, for the most part, and you can do them smart, or you could have them raw nerve. Dumb Dave. Both those guys can go to the beach. Both those guys can learn to surf. Both those guys can go dune bugging.
Surfing is past. I'm past surfing now. Sorry.
Really?
Oh, I couldn't surf. No.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, I'm a person who's in good shape.
You paddle out and just ride back like that standing board.
Kneeboard,
standing board. You can stand board. You can go dune bugging. Like whatever you want to do. Like whatever you're picturing in your 20s. Like exploring.
I don't have cartilage left. So you know those things you're describing are high impact on your body.
Dune bugging.
Well, think about your neck whipping around in the car. And
all right. Wear a neck brace.
You'd go to that. You'd be sore.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
It's a different, you know, we could still look kind of in shape.
Don't picture you in the next, you know, 15, 20 years in a rocking chair just going, the time that's passed. I picture you being active and doing shit.
I have a fairly realistic view that I'm probably not going to live a long, long time.
Oh, is that right?
Well, my body suffered, you know, went through a lot of damage from chemo and stuff like that. So I know that I have limited lifespan. Like, my middle age is advanced now.
Okay.
To me, like, you know, I just to be realistic, I'm not being, like, morbid. But just being realistic.
All right, fair enough. So take advantage of, you know, make hay while the sun shines.
Exactly.
All right, well, you're going to get 20 years at least.
Oh, yeah, 20 years. Right, I'm hoping on 20 years.
You're fucking, and you know what? Like, life expectancy is going to just go, we'll talk later about science. But I'm just saying, like, you're going to
there's options.
You're going to do a lot of shit in the next while all your parts are still fucking working.
I hope so.
Again, this is something, like, I look at with my mom. My mom is in her early 70s right now.
Okay.
But, you know, when she's talking about that and she's going, I can't believe I'm in my 70s.
Yeah.
And I say to her, okay, imagine a woman in her 70s when you were a young woman.
Yeah.
And picture what she's doing. And what's she doing? She's sitting in a rocking chair. My mom's out kayaking.
Yeah.
And she's hiking and she's doing this, true. That, and the other thing.
70, like, the 70s is the new 30.
Right. I mean, obviously you've got to do some hiking and shit before then. You can't start at 70 and go, I'm getting in a kayak.
Yeah.
Hell no, you're not. But, you know, if you've maintained an active lifestyle, as you have up until that point, Bob's your uncle. You know, you're going to be fine. And the age that you think is that age is very different than it was.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah. You know what's really strange? It's like, okay, now this is a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Hogan's Heroes, the TV show?
I do remember Hogan's Heroes, and I quite like that show.
Okay. The character of
Can I just say why I liked it?
Please.
Because of secret trapdoors.
Oh, they work really good.
Like the bit thing under the bed and stuff. I just loved all that stuff.
So remind me of age in a second. Okay. I'm going to say something to you right now about Hogan's Heroes.
Okay.
How many Nazis were regular characters, like in the main cast of Hogan's Heroes, would you say?
Two.
All right. Who would you say?
Schultz and Colonel Klink.
That is incorrect. Colonel Klink could not be a Nazi because German soldiers could not belong to any political party. So he was not a Nazi. No, he was a German soldier, but he was not a Nazi. And Schultz was a social democrat. He was not a Nazi. He hated the Nazis. In the show himself, he was always bad-mouthing Hitler. I was looking this up recently.
Okay.
Because I watched an ad for Jell-O, and it was them selling Jell-O. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Because it was on Under the Influence had a link to it, the podcast. Yeah. And I went, Nazis selling Jell-O. And I went, that is weird. Were they Nazis? They were not Nazis. Neither
was. Well, I guess the show – I don't think that's true that Nazis could not be soldiers. Because what would SS soldiers be then?
They could not be you could not be a general. You could not be a colonel. You could not. You could not join a political party if you were a German soldier. You were not allowed to.
Okay.
So they are not Nazis. They're just soldiers.
It sounds like an interesting loophole, but I'm sure. And they I'm sure the show did that intentionally.
And neither of them ever said a good thing about Hitler on the show ever.
So you're going to
that said about age.
You're going to say about age, yeah.
Sergeant Schultz on the show was 46.
Okay.
That was I mean, he was not 46, the actor.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was playing 46.
Okay.
So as a kid, you're watching TV and you're going, what's 46 look like?
Yeah.
That.
Well, it's kind of like
and now you're what 46 looks like. and it's very, very different.
It is different. But do you remember watching Emergency?
Oh,
and
yes.
And
you
have a guy, an actor who's clearly in his late 50s or whatever, and they'd be like, approximately 30 years of age. You're like, 30 years?
What the hell is that? What kind of rough living did that guy have?
What is he? Yeah.
Well, send it. All right. I'm sorry he was in that prisoner of war camp for so long, because, oh, my gosh,
I just think
terrible.
To myself, how vain are actors that they couldn't stand to be called their actual age on a show?
Well, I mean, I admit, like, people in the past looked older than people of that age look now.
Well, they had mustaches. They had mustaches. That's and right. sideburns.
And mustaches
automatically ages
you.
The
youth out
well,
of
it just ages you by 30 years having a mustache.
Yeah, then in fact it does.
Yeah.
In fact it does.
Yeah.
But I say, you know.
It's like hockey players. You look at hockey players from the 70s, they look ancient. They look like old men compared to the young guys who are playing
hockey now.
The
mustaches, because if you're punched in the face, you want something between cushion. Your lips.
That's right, yeah.
Get some cushion for the pushing. That's what they used to say.
Save the teeth. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, what we're saying is forever young. I want to be forever young.
Forever young, yeah. Is that what we're saying?
I don't know.
I'm not that keen on that, but anyway.
I'd rather, I could not trade, like I would not want to go through my anythings again. Like I'm fine.
Well, yeah, because you couldn't know, like I was talking to someone yesterday and I was kind of bemoaning the fact that I was so dumb, I'm so bad at reading social signals. Like I cannot read social signals at all. Like when I was.
Well, this naked lady in the room has been flirting with you for the whole show.
Well, that's the thing. Like when I was 17 years old, I was at a friend's house and her parents were gone. Her family was gone. The house was empty. This is us.
Right.
And it was wintertime. We were sitting by the fire.
Damn right.
And.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We're sitting on a bearskin rug up by the fireplace. And she said, my, I'm hot. And she took off her blouse. This was the 80s. So girls wore blouses then.
Boom, boom.
She took off her blouse. So she was sitting there in her bra. And I did nothing.
Boom, boom.
I did nothing at all. I did not.
You had your electronic football game.
Because she said,
you were playing.
Well, she said
you
she was
brought
hot.
Brought out your Merlin and started.
She said she was hot.
Right.
So I assumed that she was warm and she took off her blouse to cool down a bit.
Right.
I did not take it as a signal to me to make a move on her.
Right. And so, Dave.
And so, you know.
You did not get AIDS. Congratulations.
I did not get AIDS. I did not get LAIDS. I did not get nothing.
You didn't get LAIDS.
I just left the house, went home. I was just like, well, I guess she was hot. And I'll go. You know, there's probably an explanation why.
Here's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing, like, if I was doing this as a movie, you'd be like, well, I got to go home. And then it's you walking home.
Yeah.
And then you're getting on a bus.
Yeah.
Then you get the bus.
Yeah.
Then you go home. And then you have a night's sleep. Mm-hmm. Then you get up and you eat breakfast. You go have a shower. Then you go in for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's you watch some TV. And then later that night, oh my God! It's just that reaction
Stretch out their reaction time by about 15 years.
Fantastic.
Then you'll see how long it took me.
Fantastic.
Because I was talking to my wife about it one time and she said, well, she likes you.
Right.
And I said, do you think so?
Okay.
That's the story. Because I just cannot read. That's too subtle for me.
Okay, but let me say what this
is. It's too subtle.
Well, let me just say what this is, Dave.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be straight with you. This is Ian Boothby, straight talk to Dave Dedrick.
Straight talk.
And this is what I say to any young person out there or an older person who looks back on their past.
Yeah.
And I had a similar situation where someone was actually propositioning me. And I thought, they're just joking around.
Yeah, joking around. Yeah.
Here's what, and I look back on that with like regret.
Straight talk with Ian Boothby.
Here's what I think.
Okay.
If you're too dumb to pick up on the signal, you're too dumb to fuck.
Yes.
Okay?
No, that's true.
You were a dummy that should not have your dick at anything.
Can I
you
go?
You shouldn't. Keep it away.
Can I
keep
come
it away?
Forward
that
a
was
bit?
Nature with a plan, and nature went no, and nature shoved you out that door, and well done, nature. Good job, brain. Your brain saved you.
Can I come forward a little time to last week?
And realized I should have made love to my wife sometime in the last 20 years.
That's right. We were.
She's given signals.
She's been given signals to me.
She married me.
I don't know where the kids came from. I have no idea where my daughters came from. I think I fell on my wife a couple times. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, we were at.
I see her with a syringe sometime, draining something from me at night.
We were eating at a popular local restaurant.
Okay, Applebee's.
God, no. No.
ABC Family.
Have you ever eaten at Applebee's?
Yes, it's terrible.
It's terrible. Terrible restaurant.
Bloomin' Onion.
Fuck, we ate there on the way home one time when we were driving up from California. Oh my God.
See, yeah, it's like Applebee's Applebee's motto should be seem like a good idea at the time.
Oh yeah. We got you now. That should be there. You can't walk out of here.
Well, here's it's like Paul F. Tompkins says about any fast food. It's the same thing with Applebee's. It's fine until you stop eating it. The second you stop eating and just put the plate aside, you just regret. It's like a Big Mac is good.
I love a Big Mac.
Until you're done.
I still love it.
Okay, well.
I still love it.
Well, then Applebee's must be really bad.
Applebee's is terrible. Okay. So anyway, we're at this restaurant.
Ruining our sponsorship.
And I was, that's right, because they were sponsoring the show. I guess that's over with now. Crapplebee's. So we, I know we're, wait a second. I know that we're running low on time here.
Okay.
But anyway, let me just finish this story. So I was standing at the bar. I was paying my bill. And there was a woman who was standing there. And she was getting something.
Boom, chicka, pop,
pow. So I paid my bill. I went back to the table. And Lisa and the girls.
Yeah, you Millicent can say Phyllis, Lisa. I can say Lisa. You can say Lisa. She's been on the damn show.
And Millicent Phyllis were laughing at me. And I said, what's so funny? And they said, oh, you didn't see. But that woman was totally giving you the eye. She was totally giving you the eye. Yep. The whole time you're standing there, she's totally giving you the eye.
Yep.
And what's so hilarious is you didn't even notice.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was the funniest thing that I'd ever seen in my life. I'm just like, it's not funny. Like, I cannot.
No, it's good.
But the problem is.
It works. You know what? Hey, guess what guy ain't cheating on his wife? I'll tell you who it is.
That's true.
The guy that's too dumb to cheat.
That's true.
That's your brain again going like, you know, there's part of your brain, I swear it to you, your peripheral vision is picking it up. There's a part of your brain going, there's a signal coming in. And the rest of your brain goes, well, don't tell him.
Just
do not tell him.
Just so you know, I disapprove of cheating. But anyway.
Yeah. That's what you say when we're on the air. I understand.
Yeah. That's right. Lisa, I disapprove of cheating. Just want you to know that. Other ladies in the audience.
You've been getting those emails every week. You just don't understand how to open them.
What they're saying.
Look at all this spam. All these pictures. Delete.
What kind of dating site is this?
Too dumb to cheat. Too dumb to cheat. It doesn't.
But it doesn't work like this. It's not just that, though. It's too dumb to pick up any signal.
Good. Like, that's right. That is your brain helping you.
No, it's not. Because
that is an antibody getting in the way of a horrible thing happening to you.
If you're boring someone with some boring story, you don't know. Okay. You just keep telling the story.
Let me explain.
They're yawns. They're looking at their watch.
Let me explain Parallel Universe Dave. Mm-hmm. Parallel Universe Dave. I feel hot. Okay. Whoops. You're pregnant. I never married my wife.
True.
And your kid grows up to be a serial killer. But a brilliant one.
A brilliant one who loves music.
That's
and
right.
A wine connoisseur.
You don't know what that road French left
chef,
you. You know,
psychic.
You know, a moment on the hips, a lifetime with the drips. That's what they say. You could have got the clap.
That's a popular thing.
You could have gotten a social disease.
Sure.
You have no idea. It was the 80s. It was a terrible time. You could have gotten the worst thing you can get in the 80s, which was nuclear AIDS.
Nuclear AIDS. That's right. That's right.
Global thermonuclear AIDS.
Yeah, that could have happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a Matthew Broderick movie.
Also known as cold warts.
Ah! That is the best joke you will do. That is the best joke you've done in 75 episodes. That is the one you got to end on. End it. Like, I'll do my plugs as fast as possible.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Why don't you come see us at VanCaf? What's the date for that?
The date is, I believe, May 26th.
Right. That's Vancouver.
3 p.m. It's 3 p.m. Sunday.
Vancouver Comics Arts Festival. How much would that cost me, Dave? $20? $10? $50?
How about $0?
Fantastic.
You can just walk in off the street.
Absolutely.
Come to our show. It's somewhere in the roundhouse down in Yale Town.
Yeah. Turn right at the train.
Turn right at the train and walk through the doors.
Perfect. We're going to be talking to Colin Upton, talking a little bit about process, and then go off on our
processed
cuckoo bananas. But you know what? You're not going to hear a joke better than that one he just did. Why not come see me in the Critical Hit Show, a live D&D show on May 15th at the Rio Theater. It's going to be a lot of fun. Our guest from last week, Joanna Gaskell, will be in it. The show beforehand. Who showed up? The Rocketeer, Billy Campbell, showed up. Who's going to show up this time?
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, this
you
show
never
is
know.
Taking
no
off.
One is.
It's like
It'll
a,
just
it's
be
like
us.
A ball of yarn that's building up.
With yeah, the from the movie The Balleteer.
Balls of yarn don't really build up.
No, they don't. That was fantastic. See, you should have ended a freaking 2 minutes ago. I'm sending you a signal. You're not picking it up.
Pick it up.
You were too dumb to fuck, Dave.
Yes.
Too dumb to fuck.
Not too dumb to fuck up the show.
Nah, that's fair enough. Yeah. But it's okay. It's delightful. Sure. Why not listen to the Irrelevant Show? It's on CBC Radio. It's also on podcast. And pick up some Simpsons and Futurama comics. That's what I do. Okay, Dave. That's as good as it gets.
That is as good as it gets. So
let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up with a bow.
Okay.
And a literal bow. I'm going to bow right now. A bow and a bow.
Great.
Oh,
geez.
Shoot.
Yeah, what
okay.
Big dummy.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.